Good morning, Emmanuel. Nice to see you all on this lovely day. Before I give out anything, has anybody lost any car keys? No? Right. It's a Toyota.
It's Maria's.
Very naughty.
Let me have Maria. You won the lottery today.
Oh dear. Right.
That was quick, wasn't it?
It was. Welcome to our service today. To those who are listening online and to any visitors that we might have, we give a special welcome. We here at Emmanuel URC, our church in Swindon, are part of the Oak Town Partnership, along with Christ Church in St Mary's and Bath Road Methodist. Not forgetting, of course, our sister church in Highworth. Now, today, I have to tell you, very exciting. It's our AGM. And it is immediately after our service this morning. I'm just going to say, we do need as many as we can to stay, even if just for a little while. And so we can get the meeting and just the elders and everything else, nominations and all the rest of it, and a few other things, and just a couple of little short reports, I think, isn't it, Robert? Yes. And so it won't be too long. You'll be on your way home. Right, now I've been asked to give out just one notice, and that's to remind everybody of the tea service next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. In the hall. Shelley's asked me to remind everybody. Right, all the rest of the notices are in weekly news. The reader today is Janet Leadbeater, and the prayers of intercession are by Wally Knight. I think that's all I've got, so now I will light the candles and we will start our service.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service this morning. Last Sunday, with the confirmation, we had about 130 people in church, which was absolutely lovely. And given the circumstances, the service only lasted an hour and a quarter. And you can't imagine how many people appreciated that. That was good. What I'm going to say now is no joke at all. The amount of people, the many people that came up and said, I'd never seen so many people take communion in such a dynamic way and efficient way. For those who had never seen how we do communion, they really appreciated it. They thought it was going to take hours, and it took the same amount of time, roughly, as it takes normally. There was only one panic, was, were we going to have enough bread and cups for the communion? But that was solved, except for one of our elders had to break the little pieces of bread on the extra plate that we had. But it went fantastic. And people, you can't imagine how people really, really appreciated that. So that was very, very nice. Psalm 148 are the words for our call to worship. Praise the Lord. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens, old people and children, praise the Lord. I think that fits most of us here today. So we will praise the Lord, and all hymns today are from Rejoice and Sing. And our first hymn is hymn 511, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. because of the confirmation service last Sunday, we couldn't really mark the beginning of Christian Aid Week, which technically finished yesterday, but I've extended it to today. And there's another thing that can be said. If you have envelopes with donations for Christian Aid, they will be welcome even after today, or tomorrow, or the next day, or for a few days forward. The prayer that I am going to use today is the prayer from the Christian Aid suggestion for service. So let us pray. Creator God, all your creation is gathered together in love. As we meet today in this place, as part of who we are as a church, as a partnership, as part of the Southwestern Synod, as part of a national church, as part of your family, the whole world round, we pray that your light may shine in our lives, that we may perceive the hope to which you have called us, even when so much seems difficult. We are your children, and we ask you, help us to grow into your likeness, to be like you know we can be, filled with compassion and desiring justice, emboldened to live out our calling in this time, in the place where we are called to live, and put faith, hope, and love into action. Lord, you are faithful to your promises. Through the Spirit, you bless us with abounding hope. When power seeks to silence justice, give us the courage to raise our voice. When an end to poverty seems far off, renew our faith in your kingdom, that it may come on earth. When our neighbors reach out, inspire us to respond with overflowing love. In Jesus' name. Merciful God, you challenge us through the words of the prophets, those who have come before us, and those that speak to us today. We confess that we have failed to listen or pretended not to hear. One of your prophets once said, let justice roll down like water. But so often we have blocked the flowing streams and drained those rivers dry. In your mercy, forgive us. Loving God, you came not to be served, but to serve. We confess that often we bury our talents or hide them, that we have turned away from those who need our gifts. Love your neighbor as yourself, you command us. But often we worry that such love will cost too much. In your mercy, forgive us. Holy Spirit, you empower us with abundant hope. We confess that too often we give in to cynicism and declare that the world cannot change. When in despair, you are there to comfort us. But so often we rely on our strength alone. In your mercy, forgive us and help us to be renewed and transformed, to be forgiving and forgiven, and to live our life as you have called us to be, your children, loving as we are loved, transforming the world in that love. And as the children of God, we say together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In a few moments we will hear the reading. Just bear in mind that the reading is part of a story that begins before Janet starts reading to us today. I will mention that in a few moments, and continues beyond where Janet finishes today. It's a section that has a prehistory and a post-history, and I'll be talking about that in a moment.
Is from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. And you'll understand what Robert was saying when I start. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify himself and will glorify him at once. The children I am with, I am only with you a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You should also love one another, but by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for each other." Sorry about mistakes.
We respond to the reading by singing hymn 506, "Jesus, Thou Boundless Love to Me."
Thank you.
as we've just sung in the hymn, O may thy love possess me whole, my joy, my treasure and my crown. All coldness from my heart remove, my every act, word, thought, be love. Chapter 13 of the Gospel of John is a surprising chapter. It begins with Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, which in the Gospel of John is what in other Gospels would be the Last Supper. Then he announces that he will be betrayed, and that's where we pick up the verse now, 31, that says, and when he had gone out, who's the one that went out? Judas. That's where we pick up the reading today. It is followed by the announcement of Peter's denial. So a lot of things happen in chapter 13. But those verses we've read this morning are where I want to concentrate on. Jesus tells the disciples that he won't be among them physically for much longer. So he proclaims the summary of all his teachings. A new command, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now that's very interesting because it doesn't center on, do you remember the Ten Commandments in right order off by heart? Some of you probably do. Some of you would have to go to the Bible if you can remember where they are, or look in the index to find where they are. Do you remember, as the Pharisees had in Jesus' time, from 10 commandments, extended it to 633 commandments? They made quite sure that there was always one that we weren't complying with. You can't remember 633 and keep them all. That is absolutely amazing. What Jesus is telling the disciples in this chapter 13, after washing their feet, after being betrayed and sold, and announcing that he will be denied, you will be known if you love one another, as I have loved you. It comes down to that. The word love appears many times in the translations of the Bible. It just highlights how important it is. So I know you'd go home today and look it up before lunchtime, so I'm giving you the answer before you have to look it up. In the King James Version, love is mentioned 310 times. In the New International Version, it's 551 times. And the New Revised Standard Version, it's 538 times. Now you can have lunch in peace. You know how many times. It varies between, let's say, 310 to 515 yearly. In the Gospel of John, love appears 57 times, which is more often than the other three Gospels put together. In the first letter of John, it appears 46 times. But you know, it is very difficult to translate because in the Greek, from which we have our New Testament, not that Jesus spoke Greek, he spoke Aramaic, but the first writings were in Greek, there are four words for love. So how do you choose the right one to make sure you are communicating the right understanding? The most known word is agape. And that's the unconditional, selfless love, sort of the love that God has for humanity. There's one that I'd forgotten existed. I knew there were four, but I couldn't remember them all. Is storge. It's the love of family members. When family members love each other, of course. The other is philia. It's the love of, and we get the words philosophy, the love of knowledge. Sophia is knowledge in Greek. Philos, philia, is the love of. So anything the love of is that sort of love. And then we have the one that makes the church tremble and feel there is an earthquake going on, because it's the word eros, which is the erotic love. So you realize you can't fully replace one with another, at least in our understanding of today. And that's why it's such a diverse concept that the Greek world had these four words for it. The reading today uses agape. And just a confession, I haven't used my Greek New Testament for a long time, but I looked this up today, for today, and it does. It uses the word agape, which is the love that God has for humanity. That's the love we are supposed to have for one another. And by that love, it will be known that we are Jesus' disciples. Given the current world situation, that is such a powerful statement that Jesus has in this chapter. And as Janet pointed out, it comes in the middle of what could be quite confusing. Verse 31 begins with, and when he left the room, who, when? We've got to go back to find out. And then it goes on to a denial. And where is love in the midst of all this? Such love today is very much criticized. And that is sad. It is defined as weakness. As a very influential person in the government in the United States of America, and I'm not talking about the president now, defined empathy as woke. Do you know where the word woke comes from as an insult? You've probably heard the word. It's probably the word of the time. Woke comes from the word awakening. I woke up. And woke in this context means I have become aware of, I now see, I'm visualize what it's all about. So love for other people, I am awakened to that. And it's suddenly become, apparently, the biggest offense you can throw at somebody. Wokeism. Somebody who cares, somebody who sees the need and responds to it. I've written on Facebook many a time, I'm quite happy to be called woke. I don't think I am awakened to everything, but it's not something that offends me. And if anybody calls you woke, don't get cross. Go and hug them and say, yes, thank you, I love you too. And you're going to see them squirm when you've said that to them. This is a challenge we face. Do we love in the way that Jesus is saying, or do we set barriers to love? Being the end of Christian Aid Week, why do we support Christian Aid? What does it do by which year after year after year we feel that it's important to put the flag at the front of the church, to put the banners up in the hall? You get the red envelopes. Even people who have no connection with the Christian of the aid part know what the red envelopes of Christian Aid are. I would simply say that Christian Aid is recognized as loving others and trying to improve situations that are complicated and difficult and make a difference. And that's woke. Aren't they brilliant? Amnesty follows suit. Why does the church, three times a year, four times a year, put the name of somebody that we can write about? Because we care. We want things to be different. I'd love the world to call us a woke church. If by that they're saying, we have awoken to the needs around us and are doing something about it. In a letter this week published by the World Council of Churches Central Committee moderator, he challenged the member churches, and the United Reformed Church is a member church. We can be what we are called to be, witnesses to Christ and his radical love, which moves the world to reconciliation and unity. We can be what we are called to be, witnesses of Jesus Christ and his radical love that moves the world to reconciliation and unity. And in his first speech, Pope Leo XIV said, "We have to seek together to be a missionary church, a church that builds bridges and dialogue." And then ends that statement by saying, "God loves us. God loves everyone. Evil will not prevail." And that's what it's all about. To love those who look like us and think like us and behave like us is quite easy. The difficulty is the connection with the other. From us, and often them with us. I know a number of you are followers of Fresh from the Word and read this quite frequently. On Thursday last week, 3 days ago, there was this wonderful thought. I found these, the last 3 weeks, and I've mentioned this before, quite challenging. The one on trees, 2 weeks on trees, and this one on the book of Joshua. And I want to share these words with you. They're not mine. It's Thursday last week. Circumcision was the sign of the covenant for the Israelites. So I just ask, why did we give it up? We gave it up because basically it was an external sign that only applied to men, and the early church wanted something that was inclusive for everybody. But what is our outward sign? Perhaps it is the new commandment Jesus gave, to love one another as he loved us. By this love, others will know we are his disciples. Technically, that's what baptism does for us. It opens our eyes. It wakens us to the reality around us, to love one another, because that is how the world will know that we are the disciples of Jesus. I know it may be a letdown. I'm just thinking of the Sunday school verses I had to learn week after week to get the card, the little card, that then gave me, after I think it was 8 cards, it gave me a bigger card. And if I collected about 8 or 10 of the bigger cards, I got my first Bible in Sunday school. And I did, I've still got it. And I think I've told you that before, but it's a King James version. And in Argentina, that wasn't the English community spoke. They did speak old-fashioned English, but it wasn't as old-fashioned as the 1600 King James. But that's my first Bible. And the cards I remembered. Not only did I have to collect them, I had to remember what the words said, because my Sunday school teacher would ask me the next week what they were, not only me. It is a crucial teaching. This call to love comes just before announcing, "Peter, you will deny me." And if it had been a full stop, end, that would have been terrible. But we know that Peter will 3 times be able to say, "I love you. I love you. I love you. And don't ask me again, because I'm getting rather cross with your questions." You can tell that from the tone of voice that Peter uses. One, "I love you," for each denial. And Peter is still loved. We don't love people because they're perfect, because we would not be able to be loved either ourselves. In church, in family, at work, in the neighborhood, or even to total strangers, can our love overcome the fear of becoming a nation of strangers? And you've heard this phrase this week. Can our loving overcome the fear of strangers? That's the challenge. Loving in this time, in this place, for us, is a love that integrates, accepts, welcomes, and then sits down to talk. Does the world see the church today through the lens of love? By this they will know that you are my disciples, how you love each other. Because that is how God loves us. It's a risk, but it's a safe one. Because God has never walked away from us. Amen. Let us join in singing hymn 207. We'll do it the easy way, the first two and the last two verses. Not the seven, but verses 1, 2, 6, and 7. Please be seated. And now we share what we have been able to set apart for the offering today.
That's good. Stay here. Wait. For the gifts you give us, the blessings we receive, we are able, through your love, to set apart for this offering and what we give in so many different ways. Dear God, bless the offering that it may be multiplied to serve this world and our lives to love as a sign of being your children. Amen. Amen. There's a very proud mother at the back there, I can see. Couldn't have been better back home again. Let us share the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. They're training him to become a... We will now be led by Wally in the prayers of intercession. You look different from last Sunday.
And prayers for today. Dear Lord, with the world seemingly changing all the time, we pray to you for stability and faithfulness. We think of the new Pope Leo and pray that he would be a real blessing and a beacon of light in our world. May he be blessed and bring many blessings to all. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We pray that there will be lasting and just peace, especially in the Ukraine, Gaza, India, Pakistan, and all the regions where there is strife. Our churches have a big role in times like this, and we ask that they may be not only peace bringers, but also a real refuge and encouragement for all who are finding life difficult. We thank you for our Old Town partnership and pray that it will thrive in all it does in and for the local community. We now pause to say thank you for all who care for others in any capacity. May they have special strength for this. We pray for those known to us suffering in body, mind, or spirit. We thank you too for giving us this beautiful planet and all that it bestows upon us. Let us do all that we can to treasure it and to really look after it well. In order to make this a better world, let us try and follow Wesley's lovely words, "Do all the good you can to all the people you can, all the times you can, and in all the places you can." We ask all this in your Son's dear name. Amen.
Thank you, Wally. We will be singing our final hymn before the blessing. It's hymn 610. Then we're having the meeting in the hall, are we? Yes. Then if you can direct your steps to the hall, that would be great. And we will have our annual church meeting with a few reports and the election for new elders. And remember that even beyond today, because whoever is elected will need prayer to feel that they are truly responding to God's love in that moment and in today's voting. Let us join together in our hymn 610, Beloved, let us love, for love is of God. The reading basically starts when we finish gathering here and go out. We know each other and we know why we're here. May the world discover in the way we love, as we've just sung, that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, and with God's creation all and always. Amen.